Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
That team of WWL, it's me, Steve Keller with Saints legend Bobby Hebert, Douche McAllister, draft analyst Mike Dettillier, and Saints, the voice of the Saints, Mike Hawes, bringing you every pick for this draft. And our pro analysis, come join us at 504 Golf and Entertainment on Howard Avenue in New Orleans. Love to meet you over here as we get through this draft. And the big news right now, the Atlanta Falcons jumping back into round one of the draft. Trading with the L.A. Rams for pick number 26 overall. We see that the pick is in for Atlanta. It's curious to see now where the Dirty Birds end up going.
They gave up a lot.
Yeah.
They only had five picks in the draft.
They gave up the 26 first round.
Yes.
Yeah, next year's first round and two picks this year.
So they targeted this guy.
It'll be interesting to see, like I said here, if the Falcons end up getting another defensive player for them.
No, they got James Pierce Jr.
Okay.
Edge. The edge guy from Tennessee. And he didn't win, again, he's not the Dale Carnegie guy. But, boy, he can play. He can flat out play.
And, Mike, you know, you look at all the mock drafts, and Deuce is crazy. That if you look at like 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, he was on almost all the back end of mock drafts.
Like the Eagles.
Yeah, the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Bills. Everybody, watch it. Everybody wanted this cat, and now he's going to Atlanta.
Well, he's going to Atlanta, and, you know, the Falcons have been searching for pass rushers for years. They take two of them.
Okay, think about this. When was their last consistent? Wasn't it John Abraham? What did he get picked? The year after you came in?
Yeah.
2000?
Maybe a year before me.
Okay, okay.
But John, he wasn't picked by Atlanta, though.
No.
Remember, it was
with the Jets.
And then he came to Atlanta. No, they have not had anyone, and the only dominant player they've had was Grady Jarrett.
Vic Beasley did it 1 year.
1 year, Vic.
One.
And, yeah, he went from, like, the penthouse to the outhouse where he had well above double-digit sacks.
I think it was, like, 15.
Yeah, 15. He had, like, one or two.
Then that was it. He, like, disappeared off the earth.
Yeah, what you call the witness protection program, huh, Mike?
All right, stick around for more of our Black and Gold Draft Show at 504 Golf and Entertainment on Howard Avenue in New Orleans. We'll be back with more of the Saints and the NFL Draft right after news on WWL.
Well,
yes, indeed. Welcome back into the Black and Gold Draft Show here at 504 Golf and Entertainment on Howard Avenue in New Orleans. Steve Geller, Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister, Mike Dettillier, and Mike Hawes bringing you pick by pick. The Saints getting an offensive lineman with their ninth overall selection in Kelvin Banks Jr. Heard from him. You can go back on the Rewind feature and on WWL.com to hear that interview right here on WWL Saints Radio. And man, oh man, it's been fast and furious at the end here, guys. The Atlanta Falcons trading back up into round one and selecting James Pierce Jr., the edge out of Tennessee. Definitely feel like they got a top 10 talent late in the draft.
He's a top 10 talent. Again, I'll repeat it. There were some teams that took him off their board that, you know, they didn't like the interview process, everything else. But Atlanta had to feel comfortable with him and being able to relate to him and how he'll handle being a professional. When you watched him at Tennessee, he not only was he a good pass rusher, he could play the run. Man, you watched Tennessee play this year, they were really good front seven-wise.
Well,
only Ohio State clocked him.
Now, Mike, and you look at how much they thought of him to give up next year's number one. And now, who better than the Falcons? I hate to say this because this might not be the Falcons. When you're going to have Jalen Walker and Pierce now coming off the edge, it ain't no help but the damn tackles. You're on the aisle, ain't no chipping. You better be able to hold your own. And don't we have two young offensive tackles? So I'm intrigued right now, Hoss. I'm not even watching the ball. I want to see who's going to win that battle.
The rivalry between these two teams just got better.
Oh, right off the edge. Our tackles against their rushes.
Yep.
Off the edge.
And literally, they'll have three first-round picks this year. Because Michael Penix, what he had, a handful of games last
year?
Yeah, exactly.
Think of that. So that's going to be intriguing. So whoever's playing quarterback for the Saints, have the clock in your head, 1,001, 1,000, throw it somewhere. Get the yards after the catch. We got to get some yak.
By the way, can we stop saying whoever that guy is at some point?
But Hoss, right? We don't know that.
I know that.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers would know how to get rid of it quick.
So Ravens are getting ready to pick. They got 11 picks, the Ravens.
And nobody picks as good as they do. Think about throughout the years.
How about that?
They're awesome
with picks. The Ravens are blue-collar like New Orleans up north.
Malachi, I told you about.
Malachi, the safety.
11
perfect fit for them. Malachi Starks, the safety from Georgia, who's played in the nickel as a corner. He's played outside corner. He's played free safety, center fielder. Perfect fit. Now him and Kyle Hamilton.
Him and Hamilton, that's what I was about to say. And so now I can rotate both of those guys back there. You know, one lineup at strong, one lineup at free. But like you talked about, being able to be a guy that can cover the slot, whether it's a tight end or covering that number three receivers for how Baltimore likes to play, I agree. He's a really good fit for the Ravens. And then the one guy that we know well, Marcus Williams. Is probably
on his way out.
you either take a pay cut or you're going.
You said it, Bobby. So
But you know what's crazy? Doesn't it seem like every year we do the drafts, the Ravens are always picking the back end of 20s,
and they always
get a good player.
So how they got 11 picks?
Yeah, when they got Lamar Jackson, I remember when whoever they get, it seems like they end up playing for the Ravens. I remember when they picked him and they end up working out. And it's unbelievable the Ravens' success.
We talked about Hamilton, by the way, coached by, my theme for the night, Shaw's Terry Joseph.
Yep.
Who's now the Saints defensive. This guy's coached the people now.
So I got a question, guys. We're pick 28. They don't need a quarterback. 29. They don't need a quarterback. Pick 30, Buffalo. They don't need a quarterback.
Yep.
Philadelphia. Eagles at 32.
Don't need a quarterback.
They'll take him and then trade him.
Kansas City, what, at 31, correct?
Yeah,
yep. Kansas City, 31.
Don't need a quarterback. Are they willing to make the move if somebody calls?
The Saints have always had the Eagles have sort of fleeced them on deals. But I will say this, man, the Saints and the Eagles have had a lot of deals throughout the years.
You're right.
With Mickey Loomis and Howie Roseman with the Eagles.
They always answer the phone.
They'll always pick that phone up if it rings.
Yeah, and rings. So that could be a possibility because, to me, the Steelers and the Browns are still in the market for a quarterback like the Saints. Right? Because the Giants got their guy.
Yep.
So you have to look at who's in the market, who can move up. So that's what you have to look at right now. If the Saints are targeting a quarterback, now, who would that be? I think it was Jackson Dart. Now, he's not there. I don't think they would necessarily go after Shador.
I think it's Milroe.
Milroe. Okay, can you wait to the 40th pick and get Milroe? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Once another one goes.
Yeah, I think they would – Jerry Milroe, I think they'll have to move up. They won't be able to stay at 40. Because that still could be intriguing, I don't know, to the Browns or the Steelers. I mean, I don't know. I think Milroe is that good. To me, you don't look at Jerry Milroe. I know he ain't no damn Lamar Jackson. He can't throw that good. But you know, I know who he's better than? That freaking quarterback with the Colts.
Anthony Richardson.
Who never hardly even played at Florida. And when he got drafted fourth overall, Milroe's better than him.
Why are you so mad?
I'm not mad. Milroe's better than Anthony.
Anthony's a good kid.
No, he got drafted fourth overall and he can't play. No, you remember last year when he punked out? What did he do? I'm tired. And he took himself out of the game. I never seen no NFL player on offense tap out of a game. I'm like thinking, who? You the leader of the team? Man, somebody got to coach him up. But he's too immature, dude. Anthony Richardson should have played more in college. Maybe if they have name, image, and likeness like they got now, he might have stayed and waited.
Bob, he was the fourth pick in the draft. NIL would have. There's no way.
But he didn't even play 30 games in college. I mean, it's like Anthony Richardson. I think Milroe's better than him. And look where he got drafted. So.
But that Jimmy Irsay wanted him.
Yep.
So if you're the head coach or the general manager, you tell him the owner, no, I'm not picking him.
Well, Ms. Gail Benson needs to say, I want y'all picking Milroe. Do whatever you have to do to move up. Go tell Mickey and all that. Go, Ms. Gail say, I heard Bob Hebert talk about that Milroe boy from Alabama. We need to get him in house.
Let me see some film on him.
You better show him the LSU one.
Yeah. All I know is I don't understand about Milroe because you're my Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Against LSU, LSU looked like the JV team. They couldn't stop him. Now, when he played against Oklahoma, I didn't even know it was the same guy. Look at that Oklahoma game. Oklahoma crushed Alabama. Jerry Milroe played like terrible, but against LSU, man, he skunked him. He looked like a man amongst boys in those games.
If he'd have played two-hand touch, they still wouldn't have caught him.
No, he was unbelievable. So I like Milroe more than Shedeur Sanders. I just do. I don't know if y'all feel that way. I'm just saying a potential upside. Again, the only reason why I'm not more on Shedeur Sanders' side, because I ran a faster 40 than him. Me.
That's the big knock.
And I can't
run. That should disqualify him for the draft.
And I can't run. And I ran a faster 40 than Sanders. Shedeur Sanders? Come on. Maybe he got his mama's jeans. I don't know.
The picks in for the Detroit Lions, guys. We're waiting on that right now. I know they were decimated defensively last year. Do they go that direction here?
They got to get the defense better.
Yeah, because, man, they were picking people up the street to play defense.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing.
And they lose their defensive coordinator. So
and they pick a defensive player, Tyleek Williams, the defensive tackle from Ohio State. A big guy in the middle. Plays the run great.
That's a good pick for them.
I mean, now you keep your linebacker clean.
Yep.
You keep your linebacker clean, and now you get your all-pro defensive end back from his injury. He'll have one-on-one opportunities, that being Williams inside. And so
you said it
would help the defense last year. I think their first rounder was a defensive guy as well last year.
Yeah, I'd have to but who's the good defensive end member that got hurt?
And Hutchinson.
Yeah, from Michigan.
He's an all-pro defense.
Yeah. And Hutchinson. So, and then Aaron Glenn left. So, listen. The only other position besides defense, maybe a wide receiver to help out St. Brown.
Got Williams.
Jameson.
But they were saying that they could even get better maybe. They'll say maybe one of these young guys. But on defense, no, that's where the Lions needed to go. And let me tell you, this at 28, Mike, he could have went like mid to late teens. That's a good value. You talk about value picking him at 28.
He's a good fit for them.
Yeah.
Because they put a lot of emphasis on high character, high motor guys. He might not be the most athletically gifted guy, makes plays, smart, leader on the field, leader in the locker room. That's what Tyleek Williams is all about.
No, Mike, he in mock drafts, he was up there like late teens, early 20s. Like, I look even like maybe the Bengals and all that, 17, around there even after. So that's not like, he's not like, who's that? No, you know who that is, and that's a great pick for them.
Man, Ohio State, you can see why they won the national championship.
And Michigan. That's a fifth. We knew it was defensive tackle heavy. Fifth defensive tackle taken in the first 28 picks.
And look, when you combine the edges and the defensive tackles, when this first round's going to be over with.
And from a local perspective, Coach Kelly from LSU, we got to hold his feet to the fire. Come on, how can you not be in the postseason? They picked 12 damn teams. And you know why? Okay, how many defensive linemen we have drafted compared to Michigan and Ohio State? Like, who's relevant? That's where we're not winning. Look at all of a sudden, no matter how, look, we had Jane Daniels. You can have Nussmeier and all that. He's going to be compared. And Nussmeier is a first-round quarterback. I truly believe that. You look at Jane Daniels.
I believe it, too.
And how are you going to compare him to Joe Burrow? You know where LSU has to turn it around? The damn defense. The defense, and that's up front. Now, Mike, think about, look at the teams who are winning. Look at Georgia Bulldogs, where their line is. If you look at Ohio State.
Look at the difference in Texas.
Right, today. Texas, yes.
Up front, offensive and defensive line.
Look who's getting drafted.
That's where, when Sark came in, and understanding what happened at Alabama, he wanted to take Nick Saban's system of winning in the trenches.
Well, that's what they do.
And that's exactly what he's done.
Yeah.
And he got Arch Manning this year, and I think for 2 years.
Yeah.
At Texas.
Because, no, that's the other thing. Okay, Hoss, your mind, though, just chime in this, Deuce. Because look at Arch Manning. People say, like, oh, but no matter, we're doing 25, or maybe if we pick in the top five, we could pick Arch Manning for the 2026 season. And I said, okay, I've talked to Mike Natalino. I don't know, Archie and Payne and Eli, they kind
of
stay longer in college.
All of nobody
none,
came
of,
out
none
early.
Of them came out early.
Nobody came
none.
Out early.
No, that's what I'm saying.
But
so,
that's what I'm saying. He would be a 1 year starter. I don't see Archie coming out.
Yeah, so I'm trying to tell the fans. I'm telling the fans, you might have to wait till the 27 draft.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And people are like, oh no, he'll be. He's,
yeah.
I don't see none of them came out early.
Yeah.
Payne had a chance to come out early. Nope. Eli had a chance to come out early. Nope.
So that's like, even if we struggle next year, can we force the Houdini Nation to struggle maybe a couple of seasons?
Can we stop talking about 2027?
Lucky
to be alive in 2027,
on,
him
man.
And I.
No. That's what you got to plan.
2027? That's not even a year.
No, Hoss, that's where you're wrong. Let me tell you why. Because you have to plan. You have to look in that crystal ball. And look.
You are planning to lose.
Well, we got a quarterback right now. You think we're going to win more than five games?
We ain't got a quarter.
We ain't even won one game. I mean, come on. The Rattler. Yeah, Rattler. Okay, yeah. Man, we trying to win one game.
That was your Rattler? That was your...
The rattlesnake.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I'm just telling you, you want to give the Houdini Nation hope, and I know we're already sold out, and you want fannies in the seats, you bring Aaron Rodgers to the dome.
All right, we're getting a little loose here at the end of the draft. We got the Commanders pick is in. Four more selections left in round one. We're going to take a break here on our Black and Gold Draft Show at 504 Golf and Entertainment. Be right back after this on WWL.
I don't even know Aaron Rodgers. I just know what he's done.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome back into our Black and Gold Draft Show. Steve Geller, Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister, Mike Dottiglia, and Mike Haas. Our wall-to-wall coverage of first round of the draft is winding down here as the picks are coming in. The Buffalo Bills are on the clock right now that says the pick are in. The Kansas City Chiefs follow that, and then it's the Philadelphia Eagles, and we'll be at the end of round one, gentlemen. The Saints taking Kelvin Banks with the 9th overall pick in this year's draft. Now, since 2002, the Black and Gold have used an NFL high 16 first round picks on offensive and defensive line.
Yeah, and then you look at the Bills right now, Mike. These are two quality players. You know how the rich get rich. You look at the Bills, whether the safety from North Carolina, the edge rusher from BC, that's potential picks right there. Just looking at the cornerback from Kentucky,
Maxwell Harrison.
And they really like him. So it's going to be interesting. Now, the one cornerback, Mike, from East Carolina.
Chevelle Revell.
Yeah.
Chevelle Revell from junior.
Yeah, East Carolina. You might think there's not a bunch of cornerbacks. So if there's a need for those type players.
Yeah, he tore the ACL about early in the season. But he was ranked the number one corner
from East Carolina. Right. So let's see if the Bills pick is in. So it looks like he's doing the Bills pick. Some probably Bills fan who's getting excited for the Bills Mafia. The Bills Mafia always shows up. It looks like the Bills Mafia is at Lambeau.
Kind of
kind of a little odd here, too.
Bobby guys. Doing a little play-by-play for us here on the television.
He's learning from you, Hoss.
Yeah, the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
He's in dangerous territory.
Yeah, we got Make-A-Wish Foundation. Tommy.
The Philadelphia Eagles reportedly moving up one spot to take the Kansas City Chiefs.
One spot. Just to punch him in the head.
Let's go, Buffalo.
Waiting to hear this pick for the Buffalo Bills.
Hey, when the Bills fans came to the Dome, they really represented.
Hey, look.
I tell you what.
We are going to Buffalo next year.
That'll be a tough game.
Hopefully. Harrison, I told you.
Yeah, that's what we were just talking about. Right. They really like the cornerback in Kentucky.
I was told by an agent different than has Harrison that's who he was told Buffalo would pick. So Maxwell Harrison, a speedster guy, he's not real big. But, man, can he fly. And Buffalo has really had a lot of issues.
Well, they brought Trey back.
In the injury department, they bring back Tre'Davious White, who's coming off another serious injury. Mm-hmm. And so Maxwell Harrison here, really good football player. Man, and he can fly. He's got great catch-up ability as a corner. And you got to match up because one day you got to beat Mahomes.
Yeah. And you know what's crazy about this? Even though it's the back end of the first round, all these great teams who finish strong, it seems like the players that they're picking, you're going to be watching them for years to come. It seems like that we're going to be talking about Maxwell Harrison for Kentucky cornerback. Watch it. He'll be a stud. He'll be a stud for them.
Well, he'll get opportunities, you know, just because from a defensive standpoint, you're out there. They're coached by a defensive head coach.
Yeah.
So he's going to be in a pretty good situation.
Guys, we're going to go back to the studio, check in with Charlie Long, who has details on this Eagles trade up one spot. Charlie, what is going on?
Super, super easy here, guys. The Eagles trade up one spot with the Chiefs, getting pick number 31. The Chiefs get pick number 32 and pick number 164.
Hey, Charlie, that ain't a bad deal on that move up
super
one spot.
Super easy, gentlemen.
You didn't have to give up much.
I think a little gamesmanship. I think that's just playing around one another, just like.
No, that's somebody Howie wants. And he thinks the Chiefs were going to pick him.
Oh, wow. No,
I'm telling you.
The Chiefs should have fleeced him more.
No, where the Chiefs were going to trade with somebody else. And the one player that they wanted.
The one player the Eagles wanted.
They didn't get much.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about you're splitting hairs here getting that pick. And so this is somebody that Howie really wanted.
Do you think it's the safety from South Carolina?
Where's that safety from last year?
They're gone. You mean the safeties for the Eagles? They ain't on the Eagles no more. No, they're gone, I'm telling you.
Yep.
So why is the safety from South Carolina to go right here?
Him and Ward. Now, we've talked about him quite a bit today.
He's going to be a stud, and the rich get richer.
Well, Slay as well. Slay is gone, so, I mean, you need another corner.
Him and Ward. Yep.
A corner, and then looking at, I still think.
Or Jihad Campbell.
From the linebacker from.
Look what they lost in free agency. Jihad Campbell, value-wise, and. Don't they load up on Georgia and Alabama players? Don't they load up on them cats?
And you look.
Seems to have worked out pretty well.
And you look at Zach Bond. They got Zach Bond. They paid him. But then you look at Jihad Campbell. And you know what? Vic Fangio, I think he knows linebackers. He knows that linebacker position. So, what do you think of Jihad Campbell? We got to get him. Somebody might move up. We need to get him. Look, we can pick him now, so we move it up one spot. So that wouldn't be surprised if that's the pick.
Yeah, I think it's Jihad. And also, too, in their spot, they don't have to rush him into the lineup.
No.
Right.
You can say, listen, if you're not here till game four, hey, that's good enough for us. And anybody can coach linebackers, it's Vic Fangio.
Yeah, and you know, I'm telling you, I'm looking at it in the crystal ball, and he'll have the same success when he is playing as the Iowa linebacker for the Lions, who was picked late in the first round and had 130 tackles. Campbell from University of Iowa. I think, Mike, are they both Campbells? No, I think one's white, one's black. I mean, but they've seen the Campbell boy.
You know, here's the crazy thing about Jihad. He signs with Nick Saban. Nick promises him you can play edge. Dallas Turner's there, and Chris Braswell's there.
Yeah.
So you can't play edge. We kick you inside.
And the rest is history.
And look what he did last year.
He's been number one inside linebacker out of everybody.
He can play, and I think this pick will be Jahad Campbell.
Philadelphia Eagles beefing up that defense, it appears, and then after that it'll be the Kansas City Chiefs on the clock unless they make another move.
Well, Steve, hell with Kansas City right now. You an Eagles fan. Well,
no, he likes that pick. Whoa. I saw the look on his face when I said Jahad Campbell.
So wait, Steve, who you think the Eagles should pick? Who are you? You want the defense to get better? Or
absolutely.
Want,
keep stocking up that D. You saw what he's able to do against the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, yes. And without a doubt.
You were there with me. I was so nervous going into that Super Bowl matchup.
Steve was.
And it was kind of
just. He was sweating on me, dude.
I couldn't believe what was happening.
How close were you two?
I'll tell you what, the seats in for the press, we were deuced. You were like, I had to be like a hoss. To not be touching it, I had to be
do
like.
Do not
five.
Be dissing on my building.
Well, no. The way we had
I thought it was a great view, setup.
It was a great view. But we'd have to be at 5'4", 120 pounds to fit.
And, well, I'm glad I didn't go.
Based on your 40 time, that sounds about right.
No, Steve, you know how we were all leaning upon each other?
Sure.
You had to say, excuse me, and all that. Now, depending who you were sitting by, you might want to lean upon. But I didn't want to lean upon Steve Geller, and then I had Jeff. So who I'm going to lean upon? And then all of a sudden, my knee. So, but other than that, no, the view was great. The view was awesome.
So this is what happens at 10:35 on the end of round one on here on WWL.
I said we were getting loose over here. Who am I going to lean upon, Steve Geller or Jeff?
That's
the question.
And we're big people. Steve's big. I'm big. We're all
and
big.
And he basically told you I didn't want to lean on either one of you.
Yeah.
No, but we saw that Vic Voodoo in the Caesar Super, the Mercedes.
Oh, my God. You're right. You had it.
Bobby
I'm getting it all wrong.
Got him all flustered. Yeah.
Caesar Superdome, right. But beefing up that
it's
Eagles
right there.
Defense,
we can see it.
You keep attacking and putting the pressure on the quarterback, the most important position in the NFL. They were able to achieve that and hoping they can keep sticking with that, applying, making that quarterback's clock tick even faster.
You got to the point where the great Pat Mahomes, and we all know the quarterback is the difference maker.
Yeah.
But all I know is I want my cake and eat it too. I want a great quarterback and win in the trenches. That's how you win. Look how confident Jalen Hurts was. You know what I love about Jalen Hurts? I'm going to go on a tangent on Jalen Hurts.
All right.
Let me tell you. Jalen Hurts.
Let's get something to eat.
Doesn't he seem like he was an outstanding American, upstanding citizen? All the adversity that Jalen Hurts has faced, Holly did interviews. Mike. His maturity, how he was too cool for school. If you hate on Jalen Hurts, you're just a hater. I mean, come on. All with Jalen Hurts when he was with Alabama and Tua and all what happened and all that adversity what he faced. And he even at Philadelphia, how they're going about with their offense. Let me tell you what. Jalen Hurts, you could tell he's a coach's son and understands the process. Jalen Hurts, that's the kind of son of a gun we need like a future quarterback. Coachable. I guarantee you ask Kalen Moore, he probably would tell you Jalen Hurts was exceptional. Was an exceptional individual, not only as a quarterback, but the leader of your team. And I don't even know Jalen Hurts. I'm just telling you what I observed. I think Jalen Hurts is outstanding.
What I've always heard about the guy is just a really great leader of men. Finds a way to motivate the guys around him.
And cool. He ain't loud like me. I'm like all screaming and all that. No, I'm talking about too cool for school. Look how he does his interviews, his press conferences. No, Jalen Hurts, he's smooth as silk. I don't even like the Eagles. I try to mock the Eagles. E-A-G-L-E-S.
Oh, yeah. Somebody told him he was number one, but with another digit,
so to speak, in
the press box.
Listen,
the fans.
I definitely would cheer for the Eagles over the Cowgirls. I know that.
And the pick is in, guys. It is Jahad Campbell for the Philadelphia Eagles with the 31st overall pick.
I'm telling you, he'll have 130 tackles
next
year.
Mike wrote it like 10 minutes ago.
How long wrote that?
He'll have 130 tackles next year.
Stick around for more of our
tackling
Black and Gold
machine.
Draft show. Just one pick left, and then we're going to hear from Saints head coach Kellen Moore after the draft right here on WWL. Stay tuned.
I know Vic Fangio. I cannot believe that dude is still coaching.
The only thing is his body type has changed.
Right.
Yeah, Vic used to be like this.
Yeah.
But welcome back into our draft coverage here. The Black and Gold Draft Show rolls on at 5:04. Golf and entertainment here at Howard Avenue in New Orleans, and we're waiting on the last pick of the draft by the Kansas City Chiefs. The pick is in, so I would say it's pretty safe to assume, gentlemen, that KC's not taking a quarterback, so no Shedeur Sanders round one.
Well, no Shedeur Sanders, but they got to protect Pat Mahomes.
That's
Josh,
that O-lineman.
Josh Simmons, to me, makes all the sense in the world.
Ohio State.
He, along with Will Campbell and Kelvin Banks Jr., when the season started, those three were in the top 10 on everybody's board. And Josh played well. Then he messes up, got the patella injury. To me, if you can get him at 32, the Chiefs, I would take him if my medical staff says he's okay. So I would take Josh Simmons, the tackle, left tackle from Ohio State.
Now, Mike, and then if you're going to stay on tackle, and maybe what about I can't pronounce the last name, the offensive tackle from Minnesota, the Gophers?
Ursary. I think he's more of an early second than a first.
But then 32 to early second.
There ain't a lot of difference.
Right.
But think about value.
Yeah.
If you did this in October before the injury to Simmons, you said, no way he gets to 32.
He's going to last this long.
No way he gets to 32.
There's no way. So, I think the Chiefs, I think they got to bet, they got to protect Pat Mahomes. I think I'm going to go out on a limb right now. I'm going to say the Chiefs Super Bowl window is closed. The Chiefs will not be back in the Super Bowl, and they might struggle to make the playoffs. I'm going to tell you right now, the Chiefs will be a wild card. If they make the playoffs, there'll be a wild card.
Who's beating them in the West?
Oh, okay, I'm telling you right now, I'm that confident in the Chargers and the Broncos. Okay, I'm just telling you, Sean Payton and the Broncos and the Chargers.
Wait, what'd you say, Deuce?
I'm telling you.
He just said what I said.
I'm going to tell you. Okay.
I thought he had an answer.
Hey, so what time is it right now? We're going to, Mike, write this down.
10:42. Oh, I got it written down.
Okay, 10:42.
Mark.
And that I'm telling you, the Chiefs are not going back to the Super Bowl, and they'll struggle to make the playoffs. I think potentially it could be a wild card. And that I'm going more with the Chargers and the Broncos. Now, I'm not going to go with the Raiders. I'm not that stupid. but let me tell you, I think the Chiefs' window has closed. They have been a dynasty, but I think that window is closed.
And there we go, gentlemen. The last pick of round one is Josh Simmons, offensive tackle out of Ohio State.
Yeah.
We've made it through day one, gentlemen.
Yay. And one thing with this is this makes so much sense when you have a guy that can play left tackle. And again, your medicals have to be clean on him.
Yeah.
And that he's going to be right for you at least early in the season. But he can play left tackle. I'm telling you, from a technique standpoint, he's every bit the technician Kelvin Banks Jr. and Will Campbell is.
Well, without a doubt.
But the knee injury, man, makes you sort of wonder. And so that's why he lasts to 32 here.
The value, Bobby, he'll be a stud for the Chiefs, I think.
And Bobby, what did KC struggle with this year? Protecting
the quarterback. Yeah, with Mahomes. Yeah, no, he'll be a stud. Again, the rich get richer. The damn Chiefs, the Eagles, look what they're picking. But I'm still more, I'm buying stock in the Eagles more than the Chiefs in the future. I'm telling you, the Chiefs.
They're built better. They're built better.
Exactly, Hoss. You hit it. The team, the overall team, they build better. And that's why I'm not saying the window's totally closed for the Chiefs.
Well, you better open it some more. As long as that quarterback is there,
they're going to be around.
Deuce is 100% correct.
But wait, look, they won 6 or 7 games the last drive. I know Pat Mahomes, he can't always work his magic. So they might be harboring around like 10-7 and be a wild card. Watch. Look how many close games in Pat Mahomes. What's the difference? They had a horseshoe up there, you know what. Look at the games the Chiefs won at the end. They weren't dominating people.
No, I agree with
you. It happened. Well, like
nobody's debating that.
No, 7, 8, or 9 times. Now, can you do that back-to-back seasons? No, I'd be interested.
Here's my question. Let's flip this back to the Saints.
Yeah.
Right? We talked a lot about what the Falcons did, defensive edge rushers,
right.
Saints tackles. So let's look at the other teams. Tampa goes wide receiver, Egbuka.
Man,
and
Mike,
Carolina
right.
goes wide receiver with
We better get some damn cornerbacks.
That's
there
what
you
I
go.
Said.
That was
That's what
point.
I've been saying.
That was my point. We got to We've got the tackles. We ain't got the cornerbacks to cover these guys.
Yes.
You know, one of the things we didn't talk about when we come back in the break, we will. Tampa Bay to get Ibuka. Is there a better route runner in this draft class than Amika Ibuka?
Well, you know, Mike, I don't know. You know.
There's none. Now, he's not the fastest cat, but only thing he gets open.
And you know who can run routes, always kicked ass for them? Chris Godwin.
Yeah, but Chris Godwin, the injuries that he's had.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He's a guy that can come in and in 2 years be able to replace him.
But what if you got a young Chris Godwin? Oh, no.
He might be.
No, I'm telling you, it ain't going to get easier in the NFC South. I ain't worried about damn Carolina, but I'm telling you, Atlanta right now and Tampa Bay, I'm worried.
Sit tight, folks. We're about to hear from head coach Kellen Moore taking a break here on our Black and Gold Draft Fest show at 504 Golf and Entertainment. Be right back after this on WWL. Welcome back into the Black and Gold Draft Show here at 504 Golf and Entertainment on Howard Avenue in New Orleans. Getting ready to wait and hear from Saints head coach Kellen Moore after the Black and Gold getting an offensive lineman to beef up the line. Kelvin Banks Jr. out of Texas with the 9th overall selection, and no surprise, this team going with O-line or D-line. We talked about it before. It's what they do.
And my thing is, I play him at left tackle right away. This stuff about, oh, let him play left guard, then to left tackle. My thing is, no. Put him at left tackle. Move Fuaga back to the right side where he's more comfortable. And then you've reshaped your line. You know you got McCoy. You know you have Cesar Ruiz. Now you got to find a left guard. Is that where Trevor Penning comes into play here? But all this mission and meshing every year, to me that don't work. Kelvin at left tackle and put Fuaga at the right tackle position.
Put them back where they belong.
Exactly.
I loved his emotion, right?
Almost sounded like relief.
Right.
It sounded like a relief.
No, but we didn't talk about it. But on the television, when he got drafted, He's wearing a baseball cap, pulled it down. I mean, he was balling, right? And he talked about it. It wasn't like they were, a rough upbringing, but he wasn't the, greatest in the world. And you appreciate that kind of heart and soul and character that he's bringing. I do, anyway.
Yeah, I think that's something when you do the kind of analytical part with him is the intangibles. He has not missed a football game since his sophomore year in high school. Think about how many games he's played in the years of high school, 3 years at Texas. He's played and started every game,
Mike,
since his sophomore year.
Mike, here's something. The young man just turned 21.
Yes.
Just turned 21. So, I mean, from a youth standpoint, and for him to have the experience, and like he said, he's 100% healthy now, I think that you put yourself in a really good position.
He had 1,477 pass block snaps. Sacks allowed, 4.
Go to that Georgia game, and I think I can find you a couple there.
Right.
I think that's where he got caught, that Georgia game.
But still, game started 42. Games played 42. Available only 3 years. Again, if you'd have said, take the name out of it, take any ranking out of it. Hey, would you like to have the Lombardi, the nation's top offensive lineman, and the Outland top offensive lineman and defensive lineman in 2024? Would you like that guy on your team?
Yeah.
Yeah. You got him. You just got him on the 9th pick.
And so, we all have different opinions on where they, players should be picked and everything. And I thought Jalen Walker would have been a great fit. And I don't like him going to Atlanta.
No.
I will say that. But this is how I think this is where the collaborating ideas come into play here with Kellen Moore and seeing what happened in Philly. And what Jeff Ireland and Mickey Loomis have done in the past. So it's almost a collaboration of ideas here. But I do think the quarterback selection, that is going to be Kellen Moore. That's going to be his pick and who he wants at quarterback.
And early tomorrow, right? Early tomorrow.
Early tomorrow or a free agent and Aaron Rodgers, even though Aaron Rodgers is 5 years
old. Oh, my God.
No, I'm telling you, that ain't a far fetch.
I'm with you. I'm just, you know.
For $10 million. I mean, no, listen, let me tell you right now. Now, you got the strengths and the weaknesses. Let me tell you now, because it's not always strengths.
Who are we talking about?
No, we're talking about Kelvin Banks Jr. Okay. So when you're talking about weakness, this is crazy, Mike. I've never read this, like the comparison. You know who he compares to in this category? Will Campbell. Let me explain that. Kelvin Banks Jr. doesn't appear to have ideal arm length. What the hell? How long
is
your arm?
Stop screaming. We're right here.
No, how like your arms. How long is your arms? You know, like, okay, it's an inch too short or three quarters of an
who
inch.
Who cares?
So wait. So, Mike, this is what they say. Banks doesn't appear to have ideal arm length, which can lead to struggles with sustaining downfield blocks in the run game and beating long arm moves from pass rushes, you know, like a long, like jumpy gathers and all that, long arm moves from pass rushes, who bring a bigger wingspan to the table. So he just said he can be exploited in that regard. Okay, you know what? I want to know the edge rushes for the Falcons, how long is their arm span? you know what I'm saying? You know, because simply by that.
James Pierce and Jalen Walker.
Who James Pierce? Because that's who most likely you'll go up against.
Yeah, I want to know their damn wingspan. Because, I just read something, the weakness there. And then, Mike, that's intriguing to me.
The one thing I've noticed with him, he sort of has a crisscross with his feet sometimes.
Okay.
And I think a lot of that was masking a lower body injury.
Ankle injury.
Overcompensating.
And so he was overcompensating, and he would cross his feet over, and that led to a guy getting around him. So that may answer your question.
Well, and then he went on to say, more often than not, he relies more on the finesse game. That's a good thing.
That's true.
The finesse pass when power is required. Now, I'd want a finesse power guy, but to me, it's hard to have your cake and eat it, too. Sometimes somebody can be like, what do we always say about Trevor Penning? Okay, power, he's going to be dominant against the run. Trevor Penning is a stiff. He ain't got no damn finesse. So this cat got finesse. So that's why when I looked at this, and he relies more on finesse game than power, you can be an offensive lineman and get away with at the highest level finesse. Now, you know, speed to power and all that as a pass rusher and your moves, you can't be weak and rush the passer because you'll get stoned. But if you have the right finesse and good feet and good hands, then you can pass protect at a high level. So right then, when I see finesse, that now might hurt you in the run game as far
he's
as
a mauler. He's a mauler in the run game.
Yeah, okay, he's a mauler. So then right then, so I said finesse, but maybe he don't always put forward the power that he can, that he's more acknowledged as a finesse guy. Now, this is Athlon. I'm just going by Athlon scouts, and like everybody has scouts and opinions, so we can't just be like, he's a 10 out of 10. We got to be critical.
Well, there is no 10 out of 10.
No, so that's what I mean. We can't just see he's the greatest thing since Willie Rolfe. I don't know. He has to freaking play and do something.
Would Banks be someone that could move to guard if they wanted to?
Yes.
He could, but I
think we've got Kellen Moore coming up right now, Steve.
Let's go to the podium and hear Coach Kellen Moore from Saints facility.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. Obviously, it was a great process. It was kind of a fun culmination of a long process over the last few months. And so, it's that first opportunity for the coaching staff, for the scouting side of this thing, for all of us to team up on this process. And I felt like it's been a lot of fun.
Does it say anything about you? I know a lot of people are involved in this process, but your first draft with the team, you're going to left tackle.
Yeah, certainly I love the opportunity. Again, this is a trenches game. This is a game that's won up front in a lot of ways. And, obviously my background has been around that in a lot of places I've been. And certainly this place is invested in it, and we feel like we can continue to do that. And so we feel like we're building a strength in that offensive line. We got a ton of really good talent there, and we're really excited about that.
Do you ideally see him at left tackle in Florida, back on the right side, or is it the ideal
we're going to give it plenty of flexibility through this whole offseason process and allow those guys to kind of go through this, give ourselves the flexibility to get the best five on the field because we feel like we have depth beyond that, and so it's going to be a great opportunity for us. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, just through the whole process, he's everything you want your organization to represent. The player, the person, three-year starter. She's just turning 21 here next month. You meet him, you quickly are gravitated to him as a person, and you put on the film, and he gets after people. You know, he moves people in the run game. He's a great pass protector. He just does an excellent job.
Hey, Kellen.
We'll let that process play itself out. Obviously, Mickey kind of addressed that on Wednesday, and so we'll go through that.
You mentioned y'all spoke at the combine, there's a pro day, but no top 30 visit, everything like that. Just kind of how early in the process did y'all identify him as maybe one of the guys that you looked to go for?
Well, certainly we felt like we had two touching base points there. Certainly I did. You know, being able to go to the pro day, being able to meet him at the combine, and so certainly we still had a couple opportunities. 30 visits sometimes come in for different various reasons, and we just felt like we had a great feel for him. Felt like they had done a lot of work from a scouting department standpoint, and so we felt really comfortable with it.
Yeah, did y'all make polls today trying to move back into the first round?
No, I mean obviously there's always discussions as you go through this process, and those discussions certainly happen, but we felt good with where we're at.
Nick, you said that you try to be faithful to the top of your board, but if you have two or three guys really close, you may go by position. Was this clear cut at the top of your board?
Yeah, it was right at the top. We had a couple guys that were there that felt really, really good with, and certainly felt like the ability to increase our offensive line was just an excellent opportunity for our football team, just the identity of it and what we want to do.
What would that process look like for figuring out who fits best where? You just try guys out at different spots and kind of get it?
Yeah. I think it's obviously now that we're at this process, and we know Kelvin will be here. We'll go through that process just to kind of give a few different looks, a few different presentations for us, and it'll settle down as we go.
How do you think he would do at guard if that's
Certainly, we feel like he's got the flexibility to play anywhere on the offensive line as far as the tackle spots, the guard spots. And we got other guys who are flexible too. I think we feel really good about this. Got Trevor, we went and signed Dylan. We got a lot of depth in this group that allows us to have some flexibility there.
Is Trevor somebody who could slide inside?
I think all of our guys have a lot of flexibility. Certainly feel like Trevor's continuing to progress. We feel really good with where he's headed as a football player, and we're really, really excited to continue to build that process for him. And so, like a lot of these guys, I think they all have flexibility.
Where do you feel like the starting place is right now for with that?
Yeah, we'll get there.
Obviously, competition has to play out, but just Kelvin specifically, I mean, when you were evaluating, when you saw him as a left tackle versus foremost, so, I mean, is that how you judge?
We feel like he can play tackle. He can play tackle in this league. He did it at Texas for 3 years against some of the best competition in college football. That's big time production right there. And so within that, he also has the flexibility to go play a bunch of other stuff. So it was just an awesome pick. Well, certainly when you combine the situation, he's a three-year starter, he's really young, he's about to turn 21, for him to just hop in there and compete at that high of a level in, arguably some of the toughest games in college football that you're going to play, just shows the player and the person that he is.
How much did conversations at the combine and kind of impact your view of him as a player? It seems like he has a really kind of engaging personality.
Yeah, phenomenal. The combine is really fast, these 15, 20 minute interactions, but you quickly kind of get a sense of the person very quickly, and then you just kind of continue to have these different touching base points. Pro day was awesome. Certainly our scouts our scouts invest such a large amount of time over the course of the last few years to get to know these guys. They know these guys inside and out. They understand them as people in so many ways, and so we felt really good. Never hurts to have two guys in-house that give you the thumbs up. Definitely helps you.
Is it just the cost of moving back into the first round that was prohibitive?
No, no. You just have conversation. We feel good. We got plenty of opportunities through this whole process. You know, we got three picks tomorrow, and you know, plenty of flexibility as we go through this, the next couple of days.
Did you guys actually have serious considerations on the opposite, moving down from nine?
Couple conversations here and there, but we felt like we had a great opportunity to get a really good player at nine, and certainly we felt the value of not missing that opportunity.
Is there a consciousness or an importance to end up with as many of those, you know, six picks in the first four rounds as you can?
There's certainly value to that. Anytime you get, you know, we feel like these guys that, you know, we'll obviously start with the second round, but these third round picks, these fourth round picks, I mean, these guys are going to be helping us, you know, contribute to winning games this coming year. And so we feel like we're in a great place to utilize all these opportunities.
Colin, is building from the trenches always been like a core philosophy for you?
Yeah, I think it's just you recognize the value of that in this game. You know, if you have issues up front, if we have challenges, not a whole lot else can be accomplished without those guys. And so we recognize the value of that. I think that's the beauty of it. This place has continued to invest in it year in, year out. The last couple places I've been, it's been the same exact case, and feel like it's contributed to a lot of the success at other places and here included. Yeah, certainly we just, you know, we loved Kelvin as we went through this process. Certainly there's other opportunities, other discussion points as you go through this. These are never easy decisions because there's a lot of really good football players that have an opportunity to come to the NFL. And so, you know, we ultimately felt like Kelvin was the best opportunity for us.
How do you say that you guys are really aligned when it comes to draft philosophies? And since you love putting in the trenches and the Saints are habitually known for getting linemen in the first one, how easy was it to come to a conclusion to get an offensive lineman?
It ended up playing out, you know, in a really clean, you know, way, and so certainly we all feel very comfortable with that. It doesn't mean that we're not trying to go, you know, find receivers, find skill guys, find back end guys on the defense. You know, there's huge value in all these different positions, but you know, certainly aligned this way, you know, with Kellen.
How do you all feel about the board tomorrow? Like, I know you just walked out of the room, but how do you feel going into tomorrow? And I mean, do you sleep at night, or are you kind of thinking of what guys? How early do y'all start talking about it tomorrow?
Awesome question, yeah. You know, you feel like there's still some names up there, and it's going to go for a while here, but there's some names up there. You're really fired up to see if we can find a way to get those guys. And so it'll be a really exciting process. We'll go through, you know, kind of just like we have the last couple days. We'll go through a lot of scenarios tomorrow, just playing out different opportunities that we may have. And, you know, it'll be fun to continue to build this thing. We've been building it, you know, for the last couple months, and so we felt like the board was built the right way. You know, we'll let the thing play itself out. We'll trust the process, and we feel like we got some good players in the building. Again, Mickey kind of addressed how Derek's situation is being played out, and so you know, hopefully get some clarity in the coming time as you know, everyone just goes through that process.
Do you remember any games or moments in particular that stood out to you that helped shape your opinion of him when you were
I think, you know, the beauty of him going and playing 3 years at Texas, you go see him play some big-time opponents. And, you know, there's a bunch of weeks where he's playing guys that, you know, were drafted today and they'll be drafted tomorrow. And so when you go watch him play those games, you're seeing him play guys that are going to be playing on Sunday. And so a bunch of games come out. He's one of those guys when you play there, week in and week out, he's battling some of the best. And so it showed up consistently.
I know Mickey said yesterday that, you know, here they never trade back.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you seem to love Kelvin.
Yep.
Would you say there's like three or five guys you love, you know, that you wish you had? I mean, how does this draft look for you from maybe the talent perspective of, I'd love to have that guy?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the best way, we've gone through a really good process. We feel like there's great opportunities throughout this draft. There's a lot of depth. You know, Mickey's never opposed to trading back. We have those discussions. It just doesn't happen. And so, you know, this will be a long process over the next couple of days. We go through this again, as we look at what's potentially ahead tomorrow, we feel great. We feel like we're going to be able to contribute and help this team in a lot of ways with the guys that are still on that board.
How many first round grades did you have on players?
It's a great question. I don't know the number. Yeah.
From
from your previous experience with either Philly or LA or yeah. Dallas, do you feel like you had fewer personnel players than you would typically have? Was it about the same?
It was probably close to the same. It wasn't drastic, but yeah.
Yesterday, Mickey said that you guys are always in the business of quarterbacks. Mm-hmm.
I think every organization is always looking at that position year in and year out. Even years with the past places I've been, you study the quarterbacks each and every year because, it's just a fun position. Obviously, I've been around it my whole life. And, you're continuing to evaluate those guys because you never know. You may end up working with them. Spencer, I was in Philly. We weren't drafting a guy last year. But, you got to go through the process and better understand Spencer. Jake was the previous year when he was coming out of Fresno. I was in L.A. You spent enough time. So when you came here, you really knew these guys really well, and you had gone through the evaluation process with those guys. And so I think you try and do it each and every year, no matter what the circumstances. Yeah, again, as you go through this process, there's going to be different things that, are adjustments as you go through this process. And so, obviously we feel good about Derek as far as, having the opportunity to kind of go through this process, see where it's at. Sometimes things pop up as you go through this, just like in season, guys have things that you got to kind of navigate. And so, we'll let this process play itself out. Yeah, quarterbacks come from a lot of different avenues as you go through this process. Certainly, being around Jalen was a second-round pick, Dak was a fourth, Justin, he was a first-round high pick. But there's a lot of flexibility within that. You want to create an environment that allows these guys to be successful. That's important as you go through this. And so, certainly we feel like these guys that are here, that have been a part of this thing, we feel good about that room.
Are you surprised about how the quarterback draft played out today?
No. Obviously, I think, Cam's an excellent player. Everyone kind of knew how that one was going to go down. And you figured, at some point someone would pop up and take one. And, we'll see how the rest of this thing goes. Big part of this process is getting to know them as people. And you quickly recognize the value that Kelvin has. Seeing him, the representation he has at Texas, that program just loves this guy, sees him as one of the leaders of that place, and you feel like when you're bringing those type of people in this building, they're going to help elevate our organization as well. So, all right,
Saints head coach Kellen Moore speaking to the media. The Saints making that 9th overall pick, taking Kelvin Banks Jr., offensive lineman. Kellen Moore saying he's everything you want your organization to represent. Also, guys, thought it was interesting. Moore was asked what quarterback he expects Kelvin Banks to be blocking for this season. Kellen Moore just said, we'll let that process play out.
Yeah, he ain't answering that.
He said, Mickey told you Wednesday.
Hey, we ain't got to worry about that until September. Week one or whenever the
first
game.
When they sign Aaron Rodgers.
When they sign Aaron Rodgers. Oh, yeah.
Boy. I knew that was coming. I could have said it before him.
Black and gold in the Super Bowl. We'll be rocking. Now, I'm telling you, get that dome rocking. I don't know what's going to happen. I want to be entertained. Don't you like it as a sports fan? You want to be entertained? You want to put fannies in the dome?
Absolutely.
You want to come? So, hey, right now, are we optimistic about
it? I want to win, Bobby. I'm not worried about entertainment.
Oh, and then Aaron Rodgers is a winner. Spencer Rattler ain't won jack. I mean, I don't know. So whatever's going to happen, Derek Carr, I don't know, fake Christian, whatever that might be. I'm not trying to hurt nobody, whatever. But let me tell you right now, when I look at, Kelvin Banks Jr., and you might think that for sure he's going to be the left tackle. And then we put Fuaga at right tackle. They might maybe try him and maybe OTAs, whatever, on the inside and keep where they're at. Okay, let me tell you why, Deuce. Okay.
But here's my problem with that.
No, I don't like that.
I'm going to let you finish, but here I have a problem with that.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm going to let Bobby finish.
Finish. For some teams. Now, maybe that's not the Saints. Now, you got 32 NFL teams. Now, this is written by scouts. You're looking at Kelvin Banks Jr. For some teams, he'll be able to stick on the outside with the hopes that his athleticism will mitigate. That's a big word. Will mitigate his shortcomings while other clubs might slide him inside and bank on improved play strength to make him a more effective interior blocker. The physical tools are there, whether it's on the inside
right.
or the outside. So you know what the bottom line?
So, Bobby, I'm going to let you finish, okay. But I want him to do something for me.
Okay.
Can you pull arm length for Banks and
Will Campbell?
No. And Teron Armstead. Now, go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead. Exactly. Finish. Go ahead. Arm length. No, go ahead.
You're right, because they brought up the arm length with Will Campbell, and they brought up the arm length with Kelvin Banks Jr., so that makes a difference. To me, it's no big deal, like Mike said. But when they bring up arm length, I mean, your arms are not long enough, so you got to go on the inside. You can't play tackle. But I'm like, the bottom line, Kelvin Banks Jr., I don't care if it's that left guard or left tackle, he's freaking starting off of the team.
No, I agree. I agree with you there. Off. And so in some systems.
Kelvin Banks Jr., 33 and a half inches.
And 34 for Armstead.
You got it.
So half an inch.
Half an inch.
Yeah, right.
A different half inch.
That's a different half inch.
We're not talking about 6 inches versus 9 inches.
Let me go back to it. We talked about the athlete, how athletic he was.
Yeah.
So as Mike alluded to earlier, if you can clean up his footwork and get him to be the athlete at that tackle position, then you're not going to have to worry about defensive ends long arming him as far as that is concerned. I mean, he's going to be able to really be able to say, hey, look, I can use my athletic ability to be able to beat defenders. So whether he quick sets some of those defensive ends, or whether he's able to say, hey, look, I'm not going to shoot my hands. I'm going to be able to wait, and once you shoot your hands, I'm going to be able to react and counter that move.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you say. Now, how about this? When you look at, like, perspective, okay, who's your starting five? No, everybody's healthy. Everybody's ready to roll. Okay, we have a center. He was here tonight, Eric McCoy. You got Cesar Ruiz. Okay, so that's your center and your right guard. Okay, so let's say we're going to play different scenarios. So let's say you stay put because you want everybody to play right away. He got to play right away. So let's say, because the experience, Fuaga stays at left tackle. Trevor Penning's at right tackle. He's at left guard. Okay, that's one scenario. The other scenario is Trevor Penning goes from right tackle to left guard, and then Fuaga goes to right tackle, and then Kelvin Banks plays left tackle. So I think it's a win-win. Whether he's playing on the inside or outside, this son of a gun is starting.
He better start. But he starts at left tackle for me.
And to see what's going to happen.
Here's the only reason I have issue with Trevor going to left guard.
Yeah.
One, it's a new position.
Yes. Are they going to put him on the bench? Because they're going to put Fuaga at right tackle.
I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm just saying – I don't want to start two new guys, a rookie by himself. I mean, look at Fuaga. He started, but he had a veteran inside. So now I'm going to move Penning to left guard,
right,
a position that he's never played, and I'm going to have a left tackle that's a rookie.
He'll be like a virgin, out there.
That's a rookie. Yeah. So now my whole left side of my offense, I'm just hoping and praying, that quarterback that's already his blind side.
Yeah.
It's already, man, I just hope he feels it, he sees it, and he can get rid of it. But so that, I would hesitate with that move.
Okay, now, would you?
I agree with you.
Okay, now how about this? Would you have, okay, we know the center, the right guard, and then you move Fuaga to right tackle. Kelvin Banks is now a left tackle. And then Penning goes on the bench because Dylan free agency. Now he's the starting left guard.
He's played before.
Okay.
He's played it, but I would feel a little bit more comfortable.
So are you going to put Trevor on the bench then? Then he's like the jumbo guy. Then, boy, talk about get humbled. I mean, he might start crying. I mean, I'm not starting no more. No, you got to go compete. I'm just telling you, there's a lot of different scenarios that could transpire.
How do you figure he's going to start crying?
Because he's not starting no more. I'm like, because he never really worked out.
Write that down, Deuce.
Because because he's had a lot of adversity coming out of Northern Iowa. He's never really worked out. And then he kind of turned the corner a little bit.
A little bit, right.
And then I don't pass block good enough. I can run block okay, and then maybe I'll go to the inside. But you might eventually play on the inside. But we like our free agent acquisition in Dylan Randus. What's his name? I don't know. Dylan. I'm going to call him Dylan.
Randus.
Randus. Okay, I like that cat. It's just, look at Randus. His 53rd overall pick in 2021. He started 15 games at right guard last season and spent the first 4 years at the Titans. Trevor Penning don't have those skins in the wall. We ain't waiting around for him. He might not be able to accept that he's not starting. But the only reason why I bring that up, if you're going to put Kelvin Banks at left tackle, and you're putting Fuaga at right tackle, and then he's your left guard. Trevor Penning is a day late and a dollar short.
But is that your best five?
No, it's the best five. Deuce, I agree with you totally. I don't care. You got to humble yourself. You got to go win the job. Who's the best five? And somebody always gets hurt. So you might be like, you can't pout. Somebody gets hurt, go in there, now you a starter.
Okay,
do something.
Here's the other part of this. Okay, we talking about 2025. Am I going to start trying to move people around in 2026 again? That's why I would put...
We need the continuity.
I would put Banks at left tackle, Fuaga at right tackle. We know McCoy is going to be the center, and Ruiz. You know what? We figure out the left guard position.
So make him compete. So make Penn.
Well, I mean, they're going to compete anyway.
Yes, in
that situation.
So make,
I just wouldn't feel comfortable, me personally. Now, Brandon Nugent, the offensive line coach,
right.
You know, Jari, the assistant, OC, we just talked to him. Nussmeier.
Yeah.
Nussmeier and Moore, Coach Moore, that's their decision to make. But me personally, I'm not comfortable putting those two guys in that situation.
Well, and you look now. This is something I'd say. How you say his name? I know his first name's Dylan. Okay,
just call him Dylan.
Oh, okay, just call him Dylan R. Dylan R.
It's bothering him because he's seen it and he knows it, but he just don't want to say it or can't say it right.
I can't hear it in my ear anymore.
No, on the bayou, I know some randazzles, but that's not a randazzle.
No, he's not a randazzle.
How did you add all of those extra letters?
No, because that's the only thing that I know. We used to call him Diggle.
Raiders.
Look at Dylan. Dylan figures to compete for a starting spot with the Saints, likely at left guard. Along with, I like this competition, like you said, Deuce, Nick Saldiveri.
Correct.
Landon Young.
Correct.
Kyle Hergel and Will Clapp, who came back. He went to the Chargers, the Bills, came back to the Saints from LSU, Will Clapp. So let the best man win.
Here's my deal. I think in the
that's a lot of competition. Let the best man win.
In the real scenario, I think the Saints coaches in front office wants Nick Saldiveri to be the left guard. He got to stay healthy.
He can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
It was his job.
Yes.
It was his job this year.
And he didn't even lose it. He wasn't there.
Right.
How can you lose a job? You know, they give it to you, you can't take it over because you're on the bench. Or, you know, you're in the tub or whatever.
What's interesting, guys, Coach Mike McCarthy was on with the Pat McAfee Show, their draft special. And he says, this Saints roster is better than people think. Kellen Moore is going to have a great time with this offensive line.
Well, we're going to have a great season.
Well, they got to stay healthy. I mean,
that's the key.
If you can stay healthy.
Think of what Sean Payton did post-Katrina. Come on, we were down and out. We won 3 games in Coach Haslett. Sean Payton comes on board. We go from 3 wins to 10 wins. We were the second seed in the NFC. We go to the NFC Championship against the Bears. If Kellen Moore, can you imagine if Kellen Moore right now would go from 5 wins to 10 wins? Because double-digit wins, you're in the playoffs. Well, let's say we instead of 5 and 12, we all of a sudden 10 and 7 with Kellen Moore. What? We're so optimistic going and forward. It doesn't matter this year. It's Lanyap to me going into the 2026 season. We're so optimistic. It's scary.
You're not getting Arch Manning.
Getting Little Arch next year either. I hate to break you the news.
Because then we won too many damn games.
He's going back to Texas.
No. And
don't get him started on that.
No,
you wouldn't get Nussmeier then.
No. And the moral of the story is how you go from five to 10 wins, Aaron freaking Rodgers. That's how you go from 5 to 10 wins.
Drop the mic and say goodnight.
Looking at tomorrow, guys, real quick, we got two third-round selections and one in the second. Some of the names that are still out there that are best available.
Trey Amos comes
we
to gotta mind.
We got to get cornerback.
Trey Amos, man, and I like him. Juice, you saw him play. Yep. I saw him play a lot at University of Louisiana and Lafayette, and then he goes to Alabama. And I don't know how he figured he was going to beat out Kool-Aid McKinstry and Terrion Arnold. But, man, Trey Amos really played well for the Rebels last year.
And a guy I thought that would probably be a late first rounder, didn't get picked in the first round. He will get picked tomorrow. I think he's definitely a second-round guy, a guy that can play. And probably, you know, man-to-man or zone coverage, he can do both for you. And so he will be a guy that comes off the board. Another one we should start to see, we only saw, what, two tailbacks go?
Yeah. Trevion Henderson and so, Judkins.
Yeah, and so you're going to have Henderson and you'll have Judkins are just two that should go early second round. You know, what I'm interested in?
Mason Taylor for me.
Well, Mason Taylor, but will there be a run on tight ends?
Right.
And then the other run is it receiver time? Because we saw, what, two?
Luther Burden the III. What did Luther, he do not to
– We saw three receivers.
Yeah, we saw three.
Golden. Now, the thing is, he gets yards after the catch. He gets the yak. But I can tell you right now, I think we need cornerbacks. Now, Deuce says we got to get a veteran.
I want a veteran cornerback.
I'm fine with a young guy.
I'm fine with a young guy, okay. But you better figure out a way to get a veteran as well.
Yes,
I agree with you. You look at the young cornerbacks, Mike, the guy from East Carolina.
Ravel is
a junior.
Is an interesting guy because he is coming off the ACL. But I think other than Will Johnson, who is in a free fall because of injuries, Ravel is the guy. If my medical staff says he's ready to go.
Well, I have an interesting one for
you.
And, Mike, we talked about this a little bit. A lot of teams had him in the first round, South Carolina.
Emin Worry. How did he get picked yet? He's awesome. I think he's going to be awesome.
I think
because some games he's great and another game, where is he?
But I think the Saints have a – they don't call it a nickel anymore.
That's right.
We would call it big nickel, but it's star.
It's called star, and it's not just another name for nickel. There are actually different responsibilities.
Correct, and so would that be a position for him? I mean, because if you're going to have a guy that can play close to the line of scrimmage, possibly drop into – I mean, almost probably like a strong safety – I don't know if it is a
because you know he was a high school linebacker that they converted to safety.
To safety, really?
So yeah, he played linebacker his entire high school career.
Box, he knows how to run.
Well, he can run.
He can run now.
Yeah, he can definitely run.
Yeah.
I mean, his, when you look at his stats and his numbers, as far as his abilities, like whoa, this guy's he's Kyle Hamilton, is who you think he is. But for me, with the Saints, if you're going to go to a 3-4 look. And you're going to have players like that, then I want guys that can run.
Yes.
I want guys that can run. And, you know, he may not be the deep safety cover guy. I can put a true nickel in there if I'm going to play that. But if I'm going to try to steal – a pressure guy,
right?
And not put in a true linebacker or not put in a true defensive end. I better have somebody that can bring the wood a little bit, but he can run, whether it's running down the play or Mike. I see it. He can hit it before the offensive lineman get there. He would be a guy at for me at 40.
Yeah,
that I would consider.
You know who else I consider at 40? When we talk about the East Carolina cornerback, we talked about Trey Amos from Ole Miss. Let me tell you, I don't know this damn first name. I don't know these mamas giving these names. Isaiah, whatever, Thomas, that's easy, from Florida State. Isaiah Thomas, Florida State, looking at him, he allowed only 17 catches. He's tall, he's 6'1", that looks like Paulson Adebo. Notable speed, he ran a 4.43-yard, 40-yard dash. And what I was reading, he excels in press man coverage.
That's what he wants to do all the time.
And then the projection is that he's a starter. Being in the rotation, contributing on special teams, like for sure, like 2 or 3 years. that, you know, it's a bad year for corners, whatever, but they said teams are going to go after this guy because of his measurables. So at 40, Mike, that wouldn't be a reach.
No, because for me, he's a 40s guy.
Oh,
is that,
yeah,
is
yeah.
that Tommy Tucker over there?
Yeah.
And so, but when you think about it, this isn't a great year for the cornerback spot
but Mike,
that you're looking at.
Well, if the Saints took him at 40, the Thomas from Florida State, that wouldn't be a reach, right?
No, but my thing is, man, the intrigue in day two, everybody brings up Shadir.
Yeah.
The intrigue is going to be Milroe.
I would take Milroe way before
Shadir. I'm just telling you, that's going to be the intrigue, is Milroe.
If we wait long enough, we're going to be on the clock.
All I know is what Milroe did against LSU. That's all I know.
Folks, that's wrapping up day one of our coverage. Join us tomorrow for more Saints and NFL draft coverage. We'll be starting at 4 p.m. with Draft First Take with Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long. Then it'll be Draft Fest Thursday at Hooters in Metairie from 6 to 11 p.m. right here on Saints Radio WWL. Thanks for everyone involved in today's show. Mike Dettillier, Charlie Long, Cullen Steele on the board. Got Deuce McAllister, Bobby Hebert, Mike Hoss, and myself. Also, shout out to Dan Barron and Diane Newman. We're going to take a break and send it right back over to CBS Infinity Sports coverage of more of this NFL draft. We'll pick it back up tomorrow morning, folks.
In 30 minutes.
And we'll be right back after this. Stay tuned on WWL.
Who dat?